no, baby! We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition. Now before you bet right here on the Coverage YouTube channel, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So back from a little bit of a holiday break. I hope all you guys had a lovely Christmas. I certainly did. Ready to get right back into the action, though. Week 17 kicks off tonight. And it's another one of these games. I say this two out of every three Thursday shows. This is why we bet. Not a very attractive looking game here, is it? Between the Jets and the Cleveland Browns tonight. But some pretty attractive looking betting options for this game. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the remaining college football bowl games. And at the tail end of the show, I got a couple of NBA picks for you guys. Before we get into it all, though, guys, if you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. Hit the subscribe button. You see our fancy graphic over there that we spent thousands of dollars on. Big budget stuff here. So subscribe to the Coverage YouTube channel. A lot of great content here. If you're watching live, hit up the live chat. Let us know what your favorite bets are for tonight. If you're watching the replay, hit up the comment section right down there. Let us know what bets you like. Let us know why you like the show. Let us know why you don't like the show. We got a thick skin around here. And before you bet, okay, let's bring in my first guest here. Quit wasting time. The man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting.
What's up, Joe?
Jingles, did you have a lovely Christmas? How we doing?
Lovely Christmas, yes. Kids are sick. That's not great, but that means I don't leave the house. That means we got World Junior stuff all morning, bowl games all day, getting down on the Wasabi Bowl. Didn't expect that maybe 3 days ago, but here we are.
Yeah, I feel about 10 pounds heavier and a few brain cells shorter after indulging quite a bit over the past couple of days.
But, and now we get Simeon Flacco, bud. How about that?
Very easy to get up for this one.
Okay, what kind of odds would you get going into like week one? If you said week 17, Thursday night football, Jets, Browns, Simeon, who I believe was on Cincinnati to begin the year, and Flacco was on his couch, like 100,000 to one?
Oh, yeah. So this is the year of the backup quarterback, though. So nothing is surprising here in 2023.
Flacco, can I put you right on the spot, Joe? Oh, you're getting right on the spot. Your best backup quarterback right now and the worst one you've seen so far.
Ooh, the best has got to be buddy on Cincinnati. What's his
Jake
name?
Jake Browning. Again?
Jake Browning looks fantastic. I think if your team like the Raiders or the Falcons who wants to win, not ready to go into a rebuild, that's a guy that they should be targeting. He's probably the best. The worst is going to be Zach Wilson, probably. I mean, he's had such a big sample size of games. I know he was playing behind an awful offensive line, but who would you put as your worst backup quarterback so far this season?
Oh,
Tommy DeVito, maybe?
DeVito's bad. I bet on him last week, but DeVito was bad. There's so many bad ones. Trevor Siemian's bad. But sometimes it doesn't take a lot to put up numbers. I mean, look at Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins is by far one of my favorite backups. Guy's absolutely slinging it, but he makes some of the dumbest decisions. Reason why he's basically a career backup. But, I mean, if you're into betting overs, there's certainly some value in betting anybody catching the ball in Minnesota with Nick Mullins because the guy's firing it, and they can be a negative game script indoors, which is fun because he basically throws to the other team or makes just dumb passes sometimes, but he can sling it.
Okay, lots of backup quarterback talk. Let's get into some bets on some of these backup quarterbacks. My best bet for the game tonight, I'm going to take under 34.5 total points here. So check out the Jets on the road. They are god-awful. They are averaging a league low 12 points per game on the road. The Browns are allowing a league best 13.1 points per game at home. This looks like a marriage made in under heaven. Browns home games averaging just 33.6 combined points this season. Serious potential for rock bottom scoring in Jets games. 10 points or less scored by at least one side in 8 of their games this season, including 3 of their last 4 games. Both of these defenses have been fantastic against the pass in recent weeks. Top 3 in yards per pass and completion percentage allowed over the last 3 games. They rank 1st and 2nd in yards per play allowed over the last 3 games. Cleveland, 1st in yards per play allowed at home. the Jets second in yards per play allowed on the road. And you look at these offenses here. I know the Browns are getting some buzz here with Joe Flacco. It's a fun story, but each of these teams has some serious offensive inefficiencies. Starting with the Browns, they cannot run the football. 26 in yards per rush on the season, dead last over the last three games. The Jets can't block. Their offensive line allows the highest pressure percentage in the NFL. Browns, 6 in pressure percentage defensively. Neither of these teams can convert on third down either. 29th and 32nd in third down conversion percentage. Jets in the red zone. This is why they're such a great under team often, or they profile as a good under team. Strong red zone defense. They are historically awful in the red zone offensively, though. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to take the under 34.5. Jingles, what is your favorite bet for the game tonight?
At first look here, I was on the Jets team total under 14.5. That's moved. Liked it at 13.5 to about minus 120, but it's more expensive. That's gone. I liked some Njoku over 4.5, but that got expensive. Obviously, Breece Hall reception stuff is expensive, but I think he can get over there. But let's go game script. Let's go garbage town. Trevor Siemian over 17.5 completions, minus 135. The 18 is still good here at about minus 110. I wouldn't go anything more than that. Siemian finished 34th of 35 QBs last week. That's the world we're living in with 35 QBs. In average intended air yards at 3.3. He only beat Tommy DeVito, who finished with a 1.1 yards average intended air yards. This is a guy who is going to pass and create high catch probability passes because he doesn't throw the ball down the field. Breece Hall led everybody in football last week with 16 targets. Trevor Siemian can just pepper him, pepper short routes, is which he's going to have to do anyway. He didn't get sacked last week, which is very interesting because he'll go from that Washington to this. Going to be a big difference. So he's going to see some more pressure. That might not even be priced into Breece Hall's catches here. I'm happy to ladder him up to maybe 8, which is good plus money. But Trevor Siemian is not going to sit back there. He's getting the ball out early. He's checking down everything. And if Cleveland can finally play a game with confident game script where Joe Flacco doesn't have to come back or Joe Flacco's throwing interceptions to put his team behind, I really like Siemian here at this number. This is a bottom barrel number. I believe we hit Tim Boyle, the Tim Boyle Miami game that I'm sure you're aware of, the Friday game. I mean, this was the same price as Tim Boyle, but he still went over. That, like, as long as you can get these quarterbacks in for four quarters, which I expect Trevor Siemian to be in, then all of these are always in play, especially in negative game script. If the Jets are winning, this is not a game script I'll appreciate with this bet. But this could be 7 at half. He could have 7 completions at halftime, and I still like the over.
Okay, let's move to Sunday. You always have something fun for us. What are you eyeing as your best bet for the weekend games?
Sunday, we saw massive movement on Josh Allen's touchdowns. Open at plus 150. And check today, minus 110. So an absolutely insane swing on his touchdowns, which is the right move. This is a guy who has 6 touchdowns over his last 4 games. Scored TDs in 11 of his 15 games. But let's change that over to his over rushing yards, 27.5, minus 110. There's a lot to like here. First, we start with the number, the price. This is an 8-week low on this number. The market's low. It's time to buy this up. It's closed at 30.5 or more dating back to October. We're seeing Josh Allen not really crush his running props as we saw Joe Brady come in. We've seen the 2 tight end sets. We've seen a lot of running. But we also saw last week that they kind of went 3 wide receiver set, a little heavier versus the Chargers. They played from behind, which was good. But what we've noticed, and it was talked about last year, not so much this year, Josh Allen scaled back his rushing attempts drastically last year early in the season. From weeks 1 to 11, he averaged 7.1 carries per game and had double-digit carries in 30% of his games. And then from weeks 12 to the end of the season, 6 games, that number jumped to 8.8 carries per game, and he took double digits rushing attempts in 50% of those games. Trying to protect the body early in the season, the baby wheels for his rushing are kicked off. There's a lot to play for. Obviously, I'd like a situation where Buffalo is passing more. Scramble yards are more important for these. But this is a low number of 27.5 that we know that Josh Allen can hit over on maybe, what, 3, 4, 5 carries. This is probably somewhere in the 8 to 9 carry rate for Josh Allen. And even in the red zone, I mean, those 5 yards add up. So let's get some Josh Allen over 27.5 rushing yards going into a big Sunday game at Highmark.
Yeah, a lot of buzz around the Buffalo Bills. I think people have a very short memory with the Buffalo Bills. They lose a lot of stupid games. This has nothing to do with your bet, of course. They barely beat Easton Stick on Saturday. But a lot of people like them going into the playoffs. They do have some big wins, to be fair. So it will be interesting to see how they close out.
So where are you on that then, Joe? Are you on, because that opened like 13.5, went down to 12. Would you rather have New England plus 12 or Buffalo just under 2 touchdowns?
I think New England covers and gives them a game, so I would take New England plus 12. Buffalo really does play down to the competition. They're 0-6 against the spread in their last 6 games as a double-digit favorite now. 0-4 this season. And it's a narrative type of thing, but I think the Patriots want to play for Belichick. I think the writing is on the wall that he's on his way out the door there potentially. Zappy, you know, with these young quarterbacks, sometimes we just got to give them more time, and he has looked better in recent weeks. So I think that they can give them a game and probably keep that game inside of 10 points.
He finished number one last week in completion percentage above expected. Zappy did. He threw a lot of balls into tight windows. Maybe that will burn him. But yeah, Buffalo, like I said, Buffalo's not I don't love Buffalo as a team for 2 touchdowns. I don't think that offense is built that way. I'd rather a team like Dallas, maybe at home or Miami when you're going that way. So, yeah, I think you're right on that.
Yeah, should be an interesting result there, but hopefully you hit the Allen over on his rushing yards. Jingles, we will leave it at that. We thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with those bets, and we will catch you again on next Thursday's edition of Before You Bet.
I appreciate it, Joe. Enjoy the New Year's. Good luck with your bets. And Flacco Simeon, who can't get up for this?
Exactly. Fun stuff. All right, my man. Let us keep on rolling into our next guest in his traditional Thursday spot, our guy, Davis Sanchez, former San Diego Charger, 3-time Grey Cup champion. Very excited for this game tonight. He was telling us before we went on air here, Jets, Browns. But often in these games, there's some pretty good betting opportunities. I'm sure Davis would agree with that. So we take a look at this game. We have the Browns favorite by 7.5. I think that's a little bit too high. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, a total of 34.5. Now I gave out the under on this. Davis, let's get into it. What do you think of this matchup and what bets do you like tonight?
I like your underplay as well. Also, you know, if you're looking, the Jets are a good defense, but they're mathematically out of the playoffs. I would look towards some rushing. I know Cleveland doesn't rush the ball very well, but you have to look at some of the Cleveland rushing, because a lot of that run defense comes from will and want to, and you don't necessarily want to hang in there and take on leads and take on the run when you're out of it. So I'm gonna look at some of that closer to game time and see exactly how it's gonna play out. But the one thing I jumped on or I look at here is interceptions, and it's got to be, we know what Flacco's been doing. It's been a great story, but in the last 4 weeks since he's taken over, only Trevor Lawrence has taken more deep shots than Joe Flacco. So he's certainly gotten fortunate with some of it. So yeah, over 2 interceptions for Joe Flacco at plus 225. I like that. I was looking at the 1 interception, but the price is just too high. But 2 interceptions, Joe Flacco, I think, as great as the story has been, he's due for a regression and he's due to turn the ball over.
The Joe Flacco revenge game. Not a lot of people are talking about that, right? Former New York Jet. Yeah. Okay. So that's what you got here for tonight. Let's talk about some news items around the league. Of course, it came out yesterday that Russell Wilson is being benched for the rest of the season. With the Broncos pretty much out of the playoff hunt here. There's a couple different ways to look at it. One way you can say, hey, this is pretty good business by the Denver Broncos. The NFL is a business. Sometimes people forget about that. This is regarded as one of the worst trades, one of the worst contracts in NFL history. So why make it even worse by hanging on to the guy? On the other hand, Wilson was having a decent season. He bounced back a little bit from last year where he hit rock bottom. It was pretty clear that Sean Payton didn't like him either. So some people are arguing maybe the Broncos did him dirty a little bit. Wilson, 35 years old now. What do you make of this situation? Fair by the Broncos, or did they do him dirty?
As you said, it's a business. There's no fair or unfair. It's just whatever they decide to do. If, you know, Sean Payton, when he took his job, I have a pretty strong inkling that there was conversation between ownership and Sean Payton and an understanding of, you know, what he was going to be able to do or options he had with Russ. And so, you know, he probably figured it at some point that he would give Russ an opportunity. And if he wanted to move from Russ, here's how they could do it and how they had to go about it. And that cutoff window of having him not, if he for some reason wasn't healthy in that offseason cutoff date where they're on the hook for the money, that kind of handcuffed them. It looks to me as so Sean Payton, or not looks, but it was part of the agreement that if Sean Payton didn't want Russ anymore, then they would move on. That's what they're doing. So, I mean, it's going to cost them heavy, but you know, they're paying Sean Payton a whole lot of money, and the Broncos ownership, very deep pockets. That's not going to hurt them a whole lot, but salary cap wise, obviously it's an issue.
Yeah, I think Wilson is still serviceable going forward, as long as you don't have to pay him a ridiculous amount of money. He is 35 years old, but this is, if he is a true competitor, which I believe he is, this is really going to light a fire under his ass. And I think he would be a good fit. Let me know what you think of these spots in either Atlanta or with the Raiders. Neither of those teams will be picking very high at the top of the draft this year. Both of them have rosters that are kind of on the fence. You could go either way with them. Do you want to tear it down, go into a rebuild? That's more the Raiders. But the Falcons have a roster. They're ready to win if they had a decent quarterback. So I would put my money on Wilson going to the Atlanta Falcons. What do you think of that?
Atlanta Falcons, yes, I'm with you. Raiders, culturally, from a culture standpoint in that locker room, and I don't even mean it from, you know, Raider Nation and silver and black and that. I just mean it from, I know Antonio Pierce and I know, you know, that room. Russell's act is not going to play there. It's just, okay. They're not going to buy into him. Russell's just the guy that, they're not going to follow Russell Wilson. I don't think he's in play at all there. I don't think it fits, but I get it from a quarterback standpoint. But Atlanta, I think it's a great fit. And it's, you know, Russell's right now between 20, he may be higher than that, but, you know, 20 something and 32 of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's not a top 15 guy. He's not out of the top 32. So any of those teams, I think, that need a quarterback, I think Russ got to be in play. But they didn't do him wrong, though. I mean, this is, as we say, this is a business. Sean Payton, when they paid Sean Payton, Sean Payton had the keys and decides what he's going to do with Russ. And it looks like he wants to move on.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't think Wilson lived up to his end of the deal. They paid him all that money, traded all those picks for him. And they gave him it was a player empowerment thing. They completely bent over for him last year, and it really didn't work out. And the new coach came in. And so just a complete and total disaster that will come to an end when he gets released. I think they said in March is when that will officially take place. So last question here. It's a two-parter. So the result of the week in week 16 was the Ravens beating the crap out of the 49ers. They went there. They win by 14 points. So two-part question. Do you downgrade the 49ers at all after that loss? And part two, you think maybe a little bit of a letdown spot for the Ravens hosting the Dolphins this Sunday?
No, I think the Ravens build off what they did. You saw after the game, they were, you know, they felt like they've been disrespected. And so I don't think it's a letdown spot at all for the Ravens. I think they carry this momentum. But on the other side of this, Niners. Now, one of the things that I took away from this, if you look at blitz rate and how the Niners defense decided to play Lamar, they pressured more than any other game this season, the Niners did, against Lamar. And it was obvious that we saw it in previous weeks. When you don't pressure Lamar Jackson, and you allow him, you know, to buy time back there. Even definitely can't rush three, but even rushing four, he just there's not enough bodies to get him on the ground. Defensive linemen can't get Lamar Jackson on the ground. He's too athletic. He's too strong. He's too fast. So they decided to blitz him. Well, and that's I think that's the way that the Niners, the only way they thought they could stop him or get to him was to bring pressure, as the numbers will indicate. But he torched their pressure. I think it was 10 for 11 or 10 for 12 versus pressure. And he just torched their pressure. So, I mean, for me, it was, you know, to look at a Niners defense that, you know, I don't say it looks unstoppable, but looks pretty damn good in most cases. And in this key spot, they had no answer for Lamar. And so I don't know if I downgrade them, but I definitely think other quarterbacks that have similar skill sets, they're gonna see this, and they're gonna watch. And so there's definitely some chinks in the armor there. And Lamar Jackson, at top of the MVP odds right now, I would suspect he should be after that performance and what he did.
Yeah, I think Jalen Hurts might have a better game for the 49ers next time around after the 49ers came into Philadelphia and destroyed them there a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out here going forward. But, Davis, we will leave it at that. Best of luck with your bets here tonight, and we'll catch you again next week. Thanks for joining us.
Good luck, everybody. Let's have a week.
Yes, sir. All right. Let us shift gears here to college football. And we were going to who else? Our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. We have an avalanche of bowl games to discuss, an avalanche of bowl games to be played, a few being played here today. First of all, Brad, how you doing? Did you have a great Christmas?
Yeah, it was. I was a little under the weather, but other than that, the bets have been cashing, actually. We turned the corner, so I'm thankful for that.
There we go. Bets are cashing. So let's start. Let's talk some remaining bowl games. And let's start with the big ones here. The semifinals, Rose Bowl, Alabama, Michigan, tight spread here. Michigan is favored by 2 points, a total of 44.5. Any thoughts, any leans, any best bets for this game?
Yeah, best bet for me on Alabama. I'm not a big trends guy, but I mean, when you compare the two coaches as far as how they do in the postseason, at least recently, couldn't be any more disparate. I mean, you look at Michigan under Harbaugh, 6 straight bowl losses by an average of 14 points per game. They're also 0-6 against the spread in those games, failing to cover by 16 points per game. Saban with the month to prepare. So I'm talking in between the end of the regular season and the semifinal or a regular bowl game. He's won 8 in a row by an average of 3 touchdowns per game, and he's gone 6-2 against the spread with an average cover of 10 points per game. On top of that, strength of schedule. Alabama's played the toughest schedule in the country, according to my rankings. Michigan, 50th. Huge disparity there. Ooh. On top of it, you look at the talent disparity. Number of 5 stars on the roster. Alabama, 18. Michigan, 2. You look at the number of top 100 recruits. Alabama, 47. Michigan, 10. So, I mean, I'm getting a plus sign next to the name for Alabama. Give me that plus points. And speaking of that, this is the first time since 2009 that Alabama is an underdog to any team other than Georgia. And they've gone 3-1 outright against Georgia in those 4 previous times. So, yeah, I'm rolling tide here with the more talented team as an underdog with a better coach.
Win or lose, speaking of coaching, do you think Jim Harbaugh is gone?
It's a good question. I mean, he is going to turn down maybe the biggest contract in the history of college football, if you believe the reports, 10 years, $125 million. So it's not like Michigan's not trying to keep him. Yeah. But man, there's some good opportunities. Obviously, the Chargers are a really good opportunity. He started his career, head coaching career at San Diego, an FCS program. And obviously, he was in, at California with the 49ers and Stanford. I think it's 50-50, to be honest with you, Joe.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Okay, let's get to semifinal game number 2. It is the Sugar Bowl, where Texas is a 4-point favorite over Washington. If the total is any indication, 63.5, it looks like it will be an entertaining game. Best bet for this game?
We're going to go with Texas. Now, I will say I do think both offenses obviously have the advantage over the opposing defenses. Even Washington's pass offense should have their way with Texas's pass defense. But a lot of these games, I think when you look at the semifinals in recent history, a lot of it's one up front. It's, you know, I hate to go use old adage, but I mean, it's still a line of scrimmage type of sport, especially at the highest of levels. And I think Texas wins the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. especially up front on their defense. I don't think Washington's faced a defensive front as good as Texas there. And Texas offensively, with Quinn Ewers finally being healthy, he's off his best performance of the season. I just think they have a higher ceiling than Washington. Washington's done a nice job. They're undefeated. But 9 straight wins by 10 points or less, you change a player or two in their season. And, I mean, there was a reason why Washington in their very last game was a 10-point underdog against Oregon.
Okay, some other interesting betting storylines here for remaining bowl games that I'd love to get your thoughts on. Let's start with the Orange Bowl. It is the biggest spread of any of the remaining games. Georgia favored by 19, up to 20 at some books over Florida State. I don't know. On one hand, you might think, that's too many points. On the other hand, you might think, well, Georgia, you know, they were the favorite or one of the favorites throughout most of the season. They come up short against Alabama and the SEC championship game. So you might argue, hey, this is a game that they really get up for and they really want to destroy Florida State. What do you think?
Well, I mean, number one, it's kind of sad that it's a 19-point spread, that they're dealing with an unbeaten team, not in the playoff. And the reason it's a 19-point spread is, you know, more than half of the starters for Florida State have opted out of the game. So it's not going to be the Florida State team that went 13-0 this year. And obviously Jordan Travis, not even counting a guy that was a starter, he's injured. So they're down to a third-string quarterback without many of their playmakers. Georgia looks like they're pretty locked in as far as most of their players are going to play outside of a few starters. I'm not surprised with the line move. I actually think it goes higher. I think it closes at like 21. Me personally, I bet the under. I think it's a pretty conservative game plan from Georgia. I'm not sure that they have a significant need or want to get margin here and embarrass Florida State. On the other side, I don't think Florida State's offense is going to have any success whatsoever with how depleted they are. A Florida State team total, once that market opens up, I think is a good bet too, under their team total.
Okay, another game I'm interested in has the highest remaining total of any of the bowl games. It is the Fiesta Bowl. Total of 67 points between Liberty and Oregon. You think we're going to see a track meet, or do you think this total is too high?
Yeah, I mean, I get the hesitation of wanting to bet an over that high, especially when you're talking about a month layoff between the times these two teams last played. But we saw a high total the other night, Kansas, UNLV, that flew over. We had another, you know, game that flew over a total last night that featured 70 points, two offensive minded teams in Louisville and USC. So it's doable. And in fact, I would lean over here. If I had to bet the total, that's certainly, I have bet the over. It was at a little bit lower number, but I'd still lean over here. Oregon offensively against some of their weaker competition. And I know Liberty's unbeaten and they're a great story, but they would fall into the lower half of the teams that Oregon's played so far this year. And Oregon against the bottom 6-7 teams that they faced this year, their offense averaged 55 points per game. Liberty, I mean, six of their last seven games have gone over this total. So, I mean, they're just a dead nut over team. So, over for me, Joe.
Over for you. Okay, so the game with the highest remaining total to the game with the lowest total of the remaining bowl games here. It comes in the Citrus Bowl, Tennessee and Iowa. Now, viewers of Before You Bet know that I love taking the under on low totals in the NFL. I've done that through most of the season. I'm doing it tonight for the Thursday Nighter under 34.5. But what do you make of this one? 36 points, Tennessee and Iowa.
I have not bet it yet. If you have bet the under in every Iowa game for the last 2 years, you're 21-4. So, I mean, kudos. I mean, we didn't have to do any, and we just could have bet our entire life savings each week on that and been fine. What the hell am I talking to you, Joe? But as far as, you know, this game, I'm not wild about betting the under here because Tennessee offensively is going to give Iowa some different looks that Iowa's just not seen this year, so to speak. I mean, Tennessee likes to challenge you vertically, wide splits. They're really going to test an Iowa secondary that nobody in the Big Ten, from as far as a passing offense, could have given that look. So that prevents it a little bit from me. The other thing is Tennessee is starting a young freshman quarterback, and you think, well, that's good news for the under. Well, young, inexperienced quarterbacks against good defenses, what do they tend to do? Turn it over. And if you got short fields for Iowa, that's the pathway for Iowa's offense to get scores in short field. So I want to actually bet the over, believe it or not. I would lean over, especially you can find a 35 right now. I'd lean over 35.
OK, Okay, there we go. Okay, let's wrap with this. There's probably people watching right now, and they're probably thinking, guys, what about the games that are being played here today? There's a handful of bowl games taking place today. One taking place right now, I believe. So of the remaining games today, your favorite bet for the games today?
Yeah, I like it. NC State, +3. I actually like them to win the game, but, I mean, let's take the +3 full field goal right now at the current number. Let's talk opt-outs. Two starters for NC State, both on the defense. They're pretty significant, two of their better players. But on the other side of the ball, Kansas State really decimated. Seven starters for them in total out, including their starting quarterback, including their top tight end, including several of their top receivers, guys in the secondary, and also their offensive coordinator left for a job for A&M. So just a big disparity as far as who's opting out in this game. And I think it favors an NC State team that is trying to win, Joe. 10 games for only the second time in school history. The only time they've ever done it was Phillip Rivers' senior season. So I think they're highly motivated here.
Okay, NC State, a little bit extra motivation for them here today. Okay, Brad, great spot today. Thanks again, as always, for joining us. Best of luck with your bets. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll talk fallout from the semifinal games and preview the championship game. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Joe. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. You as well. I always forget to say to people, I'll see you next year. People say that's a dad joke. I've been saying that well before I was a dad. And I miss my opportunity to do that. Tomorrow, we have a show tomorrow, so I'll be sure to say it then. Before I get into the NBA here, guys, we have Adam Rockwell, who is asking a question in the chat. He says, Joe, any early thoughts on your Dolphins' big game this week? He's talking about the total. He's talking about how good Baltimore is in the first quarter and the first half. If you guys watch the show at all, you know how often I've been betting the Ravens to cover the first half spread. I don't mind them in the spot again. I think it's -1.5. But if you're talking full game bets, I like that hook. I like the Dolphins +3.5. And I'll tell you why. I asked Davis Sanchez if he thought this might be a letdown spot for the Ravens. He didn't think so, but I kind of disagree. I actually really disagree with him. I think it could be a letdown spot for the Ravens. Look at them. So they're coming off their biggest win and probably maybe even a couple years, really, outside of the playoffs, beating the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco by 14. Check them out after some of their biggest wins this season. So they had a big win in Cincinnati earlier in the season. What happened in their next game? They lost outright to the Colts. Another game, they destroyed the Browns in Cleveland. What happened in their next game? They lost 17-10 to the Steelers. Another game, they smashed the Detroit Lions by 32 points. Nobody saw that coming. What happened in their next game? They only beat the Cardinals by 7 points. And another example, Seattle Seahawks were playing really well. They come into Baltimore. Baltimore beats the shit out of them. They beat them by 34 points. What happens in the Ravens' next game? They lost outright at home to the Cleveland Browns. So it's hard to string together these elite, elite, elite performances. It's hard to get up for games. They're going to be at the rest disadvantage as well. You have maybe a delayed Christmas worked in there for some of the guys with families as well. And you're Miami Dolphins, he said in the question. You might say, well, can't you argue it's a letdown spot for the Dolphins as well? I would not. Because I'll tell you why. The Dolphins play at their best when they are loose. They do not play very good in tight situations and when they are tight. And they get a giant weight lifted off their shoulders beating the Cowboys last week. Had they lost that game to Dallas, they would be feeling so much pressure coming into this game. So I think they're going to play a little bit looser. I don't know if they can win it outright, but I think they'll keep it tight. I love that hook. Don't forget, the Dolphins won in Baltimore last season. You might remember that crazy comeback. Tua threw for 461 yards in that game. Nice comeback by the Dolphins in that game. So, yeah, I like the Dolphins to give the Ravens a game here on Sunday. Should be an entertaining game. Okay, so let's get into some best bets here for the NBA. Then we're going to wrap it up. No John Mettler. He ditched us to go down to Florida. I don't know if he's going to have any content on his Twitter, so you might want to check him out. But I got you covered here. Two quickies here, a couple first half bets. Let's start with the Pelicans first half -4.5. Been playing this one quite a bit here this season. We are seeing elite starts at home for New Orleans. They are 8-1-1 against the spread in the first half in their last 10 home games, where they have a plus 10.5 point margin. Meanwhile, complete contrast here for Utah. Rough starts on the road, 5-13 first half against the spread on the road for the season, with a minus 8.2 point margin. You dig into some first half stats. Big edge defensively. First half opponent EFG over the last 10, second versus 26 for the Pellies. Shooting it much better too, 9 versus 24 in EFG percentage. They're getting to the line a lot more, and they are forcing more turnover. So I'll take the Pelicans to cover the first half spread. And let's wrap things up with the game of the night that everyone is looking forward to, I'm sure. The big Spurs Trailblazers game. A lot of excitement for this one. I'm going to take the Spurs to cover the first half spread, a plus 2.5 point dog. So the Blazers absolutely stink in the first half at home, 3-11 ATS in the first half at home with a minus 8.4 point margin. Both are league worst numbers. Spurs much better defensively in the first half. Dig into the numbers. Last 10 games, regardless of location, 6 versus 29 in opponent EFG percentage in the first half, 7 versus dead last in points allowed per 100 possessions. Spurs fall off significantly in the second half. That's why you want to bet them in the first. And should the Blazers even be favored in this game without both Shaedon Sharpe and DeAndre Ayton? Yeah, they should probably be favored. Maybe a pick. But those are two pretty big-time guys to be missing. First and fourth in minutes, third and fifth in points. Ayton leads the Blazers in rebounds. No one else is even close, so I like the Spurs to keep it close in the first half there up in Portland. Okay, quick recap on my best bet for the Thursday nighter. If you're just tuning in now or if you missed the top of the show, I'm taking under between the Jets and Browns. I think we're going to get a traditional game of Thursday night football, low scoring game here. Big reason why here, the Jets are averaging a league low 12 points per game on the road. Browns allowing a league best 13.1. points per game. So weakness on strength right there. I do think this is a game that the Jets defense will get up for. What, they allowed 28 points to the Commanders last week at home. So they should be looking, if they have any pride whatsoever, they should be looking to finish strong. Okay, that does it for today's show. We'll be right back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. It is our big NFL show. Tomorrow, we're going to have an avalanche of picks for that NBA as well. So make sure you tune in then. Same time, same place right here on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We will see you guys tomorrow. Woo!